the whole 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Playoffs. We're trying to win a game.
Exactly. You play to win the game.
That too.
And they are who we thought they were. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Every great coach rant mixed into one right there by Matthew Berry.
Practice.
Happy Tuesday morning.
Talk
we're on
about
to week
practice.
15 in the playoffs. That's
practice.
Not a coach. That's Allen Iverson. But it also works.
I know, but it's also just among the... When you think about like the great post-game press conference, like the most famous... You know, press conference quotes. That's up there, right?
It's got
Allen Iverson practice, right?
That's probably the most iconic. I would think the most iconic, even though it wasn't post game, but still, like a.
That's what that's up there, and I feel like Jim Mora playoffs and Herm Edwards. You play to win the game.
That was good, but you've actually hit a lot of the good ones.
Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were.
Yeah,
or they are who we thought they are.
We are who we thought they were.
Right.
They are who we thought they were.
Right. Yeah. Dennis Green, the late, great Dennis Green.
Yeah.
Mike Gundy, right?
40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
And how I would say
old,
Stephon,
how old is Mike Gundy now?
Mike Gundy, I bet, is
52
is what I was going to say.
54.
All right,
14 years ago. That feels like
now,
it was not that
does,
long.
Not that long. By the way, he's got excellent longevity. You think you have a mullet and you don't have great longevity? Think about James Conner. Like, have we talked about how James Conner had a great season with a semi-mullet? And Stefania, not to be overlooked in terms of iconic post-game or post-show rants, is what Matthew does every single day. How would you describe Matthew's post-show rants? Succinctly.
I mean, they're the opposite of that. Okay. So there's your description. There's nothing succinct about Matthew.
Yeah.
Ever.
One point! Along also in the lexicon of great rants.
Right. That actually was a great rant.
Yeah.
That's
got to
be, man.
That still comes up, whatever.
That would have slayed on TikTok.
Would have slayed on the
talk. If you just throw that on the talk, that probably will get epic likes, right?
I should think
your stuff gets merged into one, though. There's sort of the Arizona Cardinals thing.
Rant, right. The, my Washington Niners. Football team rant, you know.
Yeah.
About,
you're just a bitter
what's his face?
All the time.
Bruce Allen, the bitter berry.
There was that time earlier this year when Matthew faced some random wide receiver from the Rams with a cup, and he went off. Of course he goes off against me. Of course Cooper Kupp scores 11.6 fantasy points against me. Of course.
Although he doesn't face me because he's my little Cooper Kupp.
So, oh, he faces you.
Right. I have him in many leagues.
All right, let's get to it. We have a lot to get to today.
Are we forgetting any Thirsty Kyle? Put out a poll. Did we forget any post-game rants?
I'm sure we did.
Famous ones. Every single game has a post-game press conference. I'm just saying, is there any super famous one that we've forgotten?
We will recap Monday Night Football in just a few moments. We've got waiver wire pickups to talk about. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Playoffs, by the way. But we have a bunch of news today, and Stefania, I'm going to turn to you. Speaking generally, there's a lot going on in the NFL right now, and a primary storyline is a significant number of COVID cases that hit yesterday. The NFL had 36 players placed on the COVID-19 list per the transaction wire, plus an additional player they found out just after 4 p.m. Eastern time. So that player, plus potentially others, will be on today's transaction wire. This is the world we're living in right now.
It is. And as the presence of COVID in the community evolves and changes, so does the presence within NFL organizations, and that shouldn't surprise us. And so the NFL, as they have said they would, maintains fluidity in terms of their protocols and their requirements. And there was a memo issued to clubs yesterday that announced that now the NFL is requiring all Tier 1 and Tier 2 staff who are eligible under the CDC guidelines to get a COVID-19 booster by December 27th. So, the same folks who had been required to get vaccinations in the first place, and so they now are mandated to get booster by December 27th. The league continues to test asymptomatic, fully vaccinated individuals weekly, and that process is also going to be continued to be discussed as the prevalence rises.
And again, we don't know the specific number for today, but we expect there to be more players added today. Certainly, there's no wrong time to continue to do the right thing as it pertains to protective measures here with COVID. So that applies to football players and, of course, all of us out there both talking on this podcast and listening to this podcast. Matthew, let's get to a couple pieces of news, one of which is that the Vikings claimed Wayne Gallman off of waivers because their backup running back, Alexander Mattison, was one of those 36 players placed on the COVID-19 list yesterday. Anything to do here fantasy-wise or just keep a note? Like, would you add Wayne Gallman this week just in case something happens with Dalvin Cook? Or is that too far of a reach to be starting Wayne Gallman in his first week with Minnesota playing on Monday Night Football? Like, that feels like probably a stretch, right?
It definitely feels like a stretch because my expectation would be, and I'm going to turn to you, Field Yates, mm-hmm. because you're better at stuff like this.
Right.
I'm going to ask you for the pronunciation of who the actual backup in Minnesota is.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, it's
I
our
apologize
fifth
to the
round
gentleman.
Pick out of Iowa State. I'm going to screw the name up as well, so we're going to pass for right now.
But you understand who I'm talking about. My point is that if you have a Tyler Higbee situation, which is what happened last night on Monday Night Football, which is that Tyler Higbee was placed on the COVID list mere hours before the Rams took the field last night against the Cardinals. And so if that were to happen to Dalvin Cook, and when you're in the playoffs, you know, you have to think about this. And many managers that have Dalvin Cook on their team have rostered Alexander Mattison, but now Alexander Mattison on the COVID list. So if for some reason between now and Monday night, Dalvin Cook were ruled out due to COVID, then my expectation is that I'm sure Gallman would get some work, but that this other running back again,
Last name, Wongu.
Okay.
Wongu, yeah.
Wongu. So anyway.
He's a rookie out of Iowa State. He's had two kickoff returns for a touchdown. He's been super explosive in the return game.
That's the person you roster, and I actually don't think it's a terrible idea. Again, you are in a playoff. You are in a one-week situation.
Yeah.
Having that backup kicker or defense or, you know, three tight, like, you need your starting lineup.
Yeah.
And then here's what you need on your roster. You need your starting lineup. You need a couple of key backups there in case, especially because it's the Monday night game. That's the point. Is that like if something happens before Sunday, then you'll have the waiver wire to go to. But if you have the Sunday night game or the Monday night game, a key player there, then I think it's important to have a backup. And then also, by the way, looking ahead, is there a defense or a tight end that you might want to stream in the next week if you move ahead?
Right.
The last person that could be on your roster field is if there is somebody that your opponent needs.
Right. I was actually going to go a different direction with this.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, it melds with what you're talking about, but rather than if you have an IR slot that you're going to be able to utilize for Alexander Mattison, rather than picking up any other Minnesota backfield player,
okay,
I would just pick somebody else up that might be more valuable, whether it's a second defense that, like, a week from now, let's say, as an example, you've been riding the Chiefs defense recently.
Right, sure.
And you're saying to yourself, like, I'm a little concerned about Kansas City against the Chargers on Thursday night. Maybe you shouldn't be. Maybe you should be. Pick up a second defense, or perhaps you've got, you know, like maybe you have, you're in a desperate spot with a running back, or maybe you're just encouraged by somebody. Like, maybe you're like, you know what? AJ Green's playing a lot better recently for the Cardinals. Like, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't look right. Like, that's the way that I would utilize that extra roster spot rather than grabbing a Wayne Gallman or something like that.
See, here's what I would say is that in theory, I agree with you. Like, just in general, I agree with you, but specific to this situation, I disagree with you. Just because I think, again, you don't want to be in a situation where you have a key player going on Monday night or even Sunday night where there's so limited options to turn. I get, like, people last night that were in a win or go home situation, and then they find out 3 hours before the game that they don't have Tyler Higbee, and they're sitting there hoping they're going to get something out of Kendall Blanton. Like, you know what I mean? That's the situation you don't want to be in, right? And unfortunately, in a day in which we've got almost 40 players in the NFL on the COVID-19 list, like, you have to consider that to be a possibility. And so I just don't want fantasy managers to be sitting there on a Monday afternoon and they get a text, you know, they get a tweet alert from Field, from you or Shefty or Mort or whoever saying, by the way, so-and-so has been placed on the COVID-19 list. And because we're talking about the Minnesota, you know, so it's the Monday night game is Minnesota-Chicago. So, like, it's important to have Khalil Herbert if you have David Montgomery. Right? I mean, right?
Yep,
so
totally.
That's.
I feel you.
There you go. I'm just saying that I think that we are in a weird situation in the world and specifically in fantasy football, because that's what we're talking about here. And I think you have to just be cognizant of that.
Get back to a couple more pieces of news first, but an all-time great submission from Matt Harrington, one of our producers here at Fantasy
Football.
Yeah, sure.
We love Matt Harrington.
I should say the producer of Fantasy Football now, one of our producers here in Fantasy Focus. I want winners. Can't win with them. Mike Singletary calling out Vernon Davis way back in the day when he was coaching Stefania's 49ers.
And, oh, by the way, Thirsty Kyle texted me one while you were talking, too. Not necessarily a post-game press conference, but obviously iconic. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah. The great Bart Scott.
Yeah. And you like that?
Not quite a press conference. Kirk Cousins. You like that?
All kinds of. All right. We're getting too far out of it. We're getting. This is ridiculous.
Fired up.
Stefania, Kareem Hunt for the Browns, as we knew, he left on Sunday, and now we have some clarity specific to Week 15 and perhaps beyond as well.
Well, it's a little bit worse than it initially sounded, right? Because Kevin Stefanski made it sound like Kareem Hunt was trying to get back in, and they just thought it was a good idea. And to their credit, they did not allow him to return to the field, and they were waiting until he had further evaluation on Monday. After that happened, after he underwent further testing, Kevin Stefanski said he would be week to week and called him unlikely to suit up on Saturday. Of course, the Browns are playing on Saturday this week.
Okay, the Browns play the Raiders on Saturday, as Stefania just mentioned. Matthew, I think it's, again, worth, like, now's the time to go grab D'Ernest Johnson, right?
Yes.
Because if something happens to Nick Chubb this week, you would have D'Ernest Johnson as a potential top 10 fantasy option at running back. I don't know that personally I'd feel comfortable starting him if Nick Chubb plays, but super valuable insurance.
Right, I mean, I think you would feel comfortable starting D'Ernest Johnson if you're in a deep enough league where you would consider starting Kareem Hunt. And I think he's a slight downgrade from Kareem Hunt, and that's no disrespect to D'Ernest Johnson, but it feels like they use, when Kareem Hunt is out of the game, they use Nick Chubb more than they do when Kareem Hunt is active. Having said all that, I don't think they want Baker throwing. Honestly, like, I mean, I think they would prefer to run the ball, especially against the Raiders. And so I could see D'Ernest Johnson having some deeper flex play value in a flex play value in a deeper league, I should say.
Agreed on that, Michael Carter. But a deeper league only.
Deeper league, like a, you know, like a 12 team, three wide receiver league where, you know, you'd be right where it's either a fourth wide receiver at your flex or D'Ernest Johnson, that's where you're talking, or deeper than that.
Stefania, moving things forward here. Michael Carter for the Jets, has not played, I should say, for a couple of weeks here. Will he be back this upcoming week in Week 15?
It sounds like Coach Robert Saleh is expecting that he will return. Okay. So he said, sounded very optimistic on him for this week. He has been out for 3 weeks, so he would have to be designated for return from injured reserve. The Jets practice on Wednesday, so that would be the first day that we could expect to see that designation change. But they must be feeling good about how he's recovering because they're already expressing optimism about his availability this week.
Okay, that is good news right there. And he was excellent in the four games prior to going down and landing on injured reserve. So if you have Michael Carter, you feel pretty good about starting him, especially with the Jets not getting much out of the backfield in his absence over the past few weeks.
And also, by the way, they play the Dolphins this week, right? And so, like, you just sort of think about how that game plays out real quickly. Dolphins corners are really, really good. Mm. And the, you know, the defense overall has played well. And so Michael Carter, a lot of his fantasy value this year has come from, you know, candidly, dump offs. And I could see a lot of dump offs to Michael Carter as Zach Wilson is under pressure from a better than they get credit for Dolphins defense. It's played a lot better recently.
Worth noting, by the way, the Dolphins have zero notable running backs right now on the active roster.
Yes, that is correct. It's
not just Miles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed, and now Philip Lindsay, all on the COVID-19 list. Malcolm Brown has a chance to play this week. He makes the waiver wire, but my description of Malcolm Brown is like, I don't know. Like, I would just be, I am leading you astray by saying that I'm speaking with absolute confidence in saying he will be the guy on Sunday. Duke Johnson was elevated to the active roster as a COVID-19 replacement. We'll see. Maybe the best call is to fade Miami running backs this week.
Although the weird part is that they're playing the Jets. Normally you would, except, like,
the problem is just choosing between one of them.
And the other thing is that both Gaskin and Ahmed went on the COVID list last week. So there's a
Friday
chance
and Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a chance they could be cleared and active in time to play the Jets.
Moving forward, here's Stefania.
A story we will follow all week long. And by we, I really mean Stefania.
Speaking of Stefania, back to Stefania with some injury updates on the Lions, who had 12 players that were questionable last week because they were sick, Stefania, but they had a bunch of other players that were ruled out due to injury. Where are we at with Detroit's backfield?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because in Detroit's case, they were talking about flu circulating through the building as well as COVID. Then they had a number of additional players test positive for COVID-19 as the week progressed. So a lot of illness in that building, but players not dealing with illness, but rather with injury, DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. And DeAndre Swift, we were talking last week, like, who knows if we'd see him again? He had an AC joint sprain, and he definitely was not... he was not prepared to play for the last 2 weeks. He got injured on Thanksgiving, if you guys remember, and we haven't seen him. He hasn't been practicing. Now, Dan Campbell did say yesterday that he's hopeful to get him back this week. That's according to Eric Woodyard, who covers Lions for us. Said that he still felt better, but he's considered day-to-day. Well, here's the thing. When you're not practicing and you're not taking any contact, your shoulder's going to feel better. So I don't know how much confidence I would put in this statement. I mean, I think the thing I take away from it is that they are leaving the door open. If DeAndre Swift makes it back to practice and they're comfortable with how he's doing, maybe he gets a chance to return. But despite the fact that this was an optimistic statement from Dan Campbell, I'm not sure that you can read a lot into it because DeAndre Swift hasn't been doing anything.
Again, Stefania, I could not agree anymore. 1-11-1, right? That's the Lions record right now. What do you think is more important? Potentially putting your best young offensive player or one of them in harm's way if you bring him back too soon, or if you bring him back and he's not comfortable, or winning an extra game that might not mean that much in the grand scheme, right? The answer is clear. Like, you need to be thoughtful of the big picture here in Detroit.
You know, he did say he kind of had the same statement about TJ Hockenson in that situation, a little different. TJ Hockenson just missed practice the last 2 days. We saw him get downgraded late in the week. He had his left hand wrapped heavily by those who saw him. So TJ Hockenson, I feel like there's a better shot for him. And just a reminder that Jamal Williams is still on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Keep an eye on those throughout the week as well. We're going to do a Monday Night Football recap plus a Survivor League update in just a few moments. But first, Matthew,
And Waiver Wire.
And Waiver Wire. But before we get to Waiver Wire, we got to do the other two things first.
I understand.
And when there's another
And before
library,
we do any of those things, I got to tell you about Geico.
Thank you, Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, field the question for you here.
Okay, yep.
Do you own or rent your home?
Which one are you referring to?
Either.
No, I don't.
Neither of those? Well, I know Stefania does. Stefania owns her home.
That's true.
Yeah, she does. New homeowner Stefania Bell. And I bet, Stefania, it can be hard work.
It is.
Yeah, but you know what's easy?
What?
Bundling policies with Geico.
Ooh.
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. I don't want to brag here, but Stefania also has a car. It's a good thing as well because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. Once again, that is Geico.com.
Think about the major life-changing moments you've had, like buying your first car, getting married, meeting Stefania Bell for the very first time.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, there's also landing that big job you've been going after, which can bring new opportunities for growth, hopefully a higher salary, new coworkers, new friends, and awesome new career achievements.
Like being one of Stefania's assistants.
Correct. Whether you're trying to get your first real job out of college, achieve a new title, or land your dream job, you should go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy because ZipRecruiter.com makes it easy to find that next job that could change your life. How?
Yes. Senior vice president of Stefania's assistants is a good gig because there's somebody that oversees all the other assistants.
Right. How? How does it do that? Well, ZipRecruiter acts like your free personal recruiter, like a Stefania personal assistant.
Right.
When you create a free profile, ZipRecruiter starts working for you like an assistant does for Stefania. They send you jobs that match your skills and experience. And they even pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. If someone from that company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site by G2. So if you're looking for that life-changing job, ZipRecruiter is a game changer. They make your whole job search experience better. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/easy today. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy right now to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. We are back now. Let's do a little Monday Night Football recap. If you missed the game, the Rams won 30-23. A fun finish to this game. The Cardinals kick a field goal with, I think, 37 seconds left to draw within 7, 30-23. They execute a beautiful onside kick. Matt Prater was lights out last week.
Oh, he had the game of the night.
He was awesome.
He was awesome.
And then the Cardinals come up a little bit short as Aaron Donald sacked Kyler Murray in the final play of the game. The Rams improved to 9-4. They're just one game back of the Cardinals now in the division.
Matt Prater had the opposite kind of game that Kyler Murray and the offensive line of the Cardinals had.
That would be good. But I will say this. Last night, very impressive from the Rams, who dealt with a number of COVID absences yesterday.
Sure.
No Jalen Ramsey, no Tyler Higbee, no Daryl Henderson, no Rob Havenstein, amongst other players they did not have available. They gutted up after losing 3 games in 4 efforts. The Rams got their biggest win in quite some time last night, and Matthew Stafford looks brilliant. He looked like early season Matthew Stafford, 23 of 30 for 287 yards, 3 passing touchdowns. He's got back-to-back-to-back games with 21 or more fantasy points. Sonny Michel had an okay
And by night. The way, off of that, I mean, I think that, you know, he was red hot, then they'd struggle a little bit, but then, look, Robert Woods gets injured, they get Odell Beckham Jr., they have a game, whatever, then they get on the bye. And they figured out, and since their bye, to your point, now 3 straight games with at least 3 touchdowns, at least 21 fantasy points, I should say, right? And what he's averaging is 295 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns in each of those games. So to your point, 3 games in a row since their bye, I think that's important. Sort of notes that, like, they have truly and fully worked Odell Beckham Jr. into this offense. Credit Sean McVay and his staff. Rams passing offense looks great.
Looks great right now. Their running offense was okay last night, but you'll take 20 carries from Sonny Michel. He gets you to 79 yards because he had 0 catches last night. Just
and
one
that's
target.
The problem, right? I mean, he's not and it's weird because usually McVay running backs are involved in the passing game here, but it just feels like Sonny Michel is more of the volume is there when Henderson is out, which is great, but without the passing game usage, he's, you know, a little too touchdown dependent to be anything more than sort of an RB2.
I was going to say, that's fine, though. Like, I'm okay with Sonny Michel being an RB2, given where you probably drafted him or when you picked him up off the waiver wire. We'll see on Daryl Henderson's availability for next week against Seattle. Of course, he was placed on the COVID-19 list on Sunday. I don't have any words anymore for Cooper Kupp, but I just want to congratulate everybody who has Cooper Kupp. Anybody who has Matthew to Cooper Kupp.
Thank you.
Because if you did not make the playoffs with Cooper Kupp on your roster, I am sorry. He is doing historical stuff. Last night, 13 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. You guys know, obviously, Dan Boehm. Dan Boehm is a huge part of our ESPN Games group here. He helps make the game go along all platforms for ESPN Fantasy. He texted me, and I were texting last night before the game. And he said he needed 14 MVD, right? He needed 14 points from Cooper Kupp in non-PPR scoring to clinch a playoff spot. I've never felt more certain in my life of something happening. I texted him back and I said, yeah, that's a typical day in the neighborhood for Cooper Kupp. Like, no sweat needed. He was amazing last night. 13 catches, 123 yards, a touchdown, 15 targets for Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is now going to shatter, assuming he stays healthy and on the field for the rest of the season, the most fantasy points scored ever by a wide receiver in a single season. Now, I get it. There's an extra game. So you're probably saying, like, that diminishes the value of the record. There's still a chance that he does so in just 16 games played, as Jerry Rice owns the record for the most fantasy points per game in a full 16-game season. It's not a guy who played 5 games or 6 games, not when the NFL was a shorter year. 25.88 fantasy points per game, all the way back in 1995. Cooper Kupp is at 25.8 fantasy points per game right now. 25.8 fantasy points per game. He is the best player in fantasy. It's extremely hard for a wide receiver to lead all players in scoring in fantasy football. It simply is. Quarterbacks are almost always the best bet, for obvious reasons. Running backs are the second best bet because you know what they're getting? 20 or 25 opportunities a game. Cooper Kupp is breaking the mold. He is unbelievable right now, Matthew. I have no words for him. He's the fantasy MVP.
He's
clearly,
my little
right?
Cooper Kupp. He's amazing. He's been nothing short of spectacular. And it's not just the scoring, and obviously the scoring is there, but it's the consistency week in, week out. Such a high floor and a high ceiling. You rarely see that. And you rarely see that from a slot receiver, too. Just everything about it is nothing short of spectacular. You guys know I've been a huge Cooper Kupp fan. We make jokes about Matthew's little Cooper Kupp ever since his rookie year. Even I the world's second biggest Cooper Cup fan after, of course, his father, Craig, didn't see this coming.
I mean,
I thought he was going to have a really good year. I didn't think he would be number one player in fantasy, and it's not close kind of year.
Yeah.
By the way, Field, just to answer your question, like you were like, I can't believe, does anyone have Cooper Cup on their team and not make the playoffs? Me. Can I tell you this?
Okay.
So in our Dynasty League, I have Cooper Cup in our Dynasty League. Here's who else is on my team, though, in that league. So Chris McCaffrey, J.K. Dobbins, Logan Thomas, Adam Trautman, Rashad Bateman, who missed much of the year. Calvin Ridley's on that team. Will Fuller, Antonio Gibson, who, you know, basically was ineffective for 6 weeks. I mean, you know.
Sounds like a you problem.
Maybe. Maybe. It is what it is. Cooper Kupp's having a monster year on my Dynasty League, surrounded by, you know, a bunch of guys that can't get on the field for one reason or the other.
Apparently, you missed the email about the trade we made this morning.
Uh-oh, did we?
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it.
What trade?
I wouldn't argue with that. I wouldn't, you know. The commissioner's not going to veto that at all.
Yeah.
There was some discussion this morning about whether those of us that did not make the playoffs, would the draft order for the 8 non-playoff teams be determined by regular season record, or did the consolation bracket have any bearing on the draft order? And I informed the league about the trade that we agreed to.
Oh.
Which you traded me Christian McCaffrey and the number 2 pick.
Okay.
For Joe Flacco and the number 6 pick.
Wow. I gotta stop drinking and trading.
Put into a pool.
I gotta stop trading and drinking.
Matthew's like, I had half a margarita.
But you know what? Like, jokes aside for a second, though, I like halfway through the season, like I thought I had a pretty good team coming into this year, and halfway through the season, I had Cooper Cup and so many injuries. Hang on, though, this is important for Dynasty.
No, listen, I have Dynasty drama too. My team's terrible.
Yeah, so this is also true. This is about me, Stefania.
Okay.
So what I was going to say though is like, don't be scared in Dynasty. There's nothing worse than finishing like third in Dynasty, or like middle of the pack. Honestly, like if you're not, and I knew looking at the other teams in the league, we had some really good teams in the league. It's a league with the three of us, and Thirsty Kyle's in the league, and Mike Clay is in the league, and you know, and a bunch of our fantasy producers here at ESPN that are also very good fantasy managers. Not Cool Keith is in the league, et cetera, et cetera. And so I knew that I was unlikely to win this year, despite Cooper Kupp's magnificent. And so I tore it all down. And so, yes, I have, in addition to all the players I just said, a bunch of young players that I think will be exciting. I have the second and third pick this year. So,
well, you know what? That's the only thing that gives me hope. You know, yep. If you ain't first, you're last. But if you're last, you could be first.
There you go.
Hey.
I'm just,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying is, don't be scared.
Picking up
in
what
a Dynasty
I'm putting
league.
Down?
Yeah, I do. I am picking up what you're putting down, Stefania. I'm just saying, like, in Dynasty, don't be scared to, like, look yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what? It ain't my year.
But you know what else? You hold up. Mike Clay tried to trade me for Justin Herbert about 40 times this season.
Yeah.
He tried to give me everything but the kitchen sink for Justin Herbert, but I'm building my franchise around Justin
Herbert.
That is, so because it's Dynasty, I wouldn't make the trade.
Nor should you. I'm sure he offered you like Jarrett Patterson, because Lord knows he offers Jarrett Patterson to me a lot. I like Jarrett Patterson in Dynasty, but like not for anyway, whatever.
Big piece of advice. Like,
don't trade with Mike Clay in Dynasty leagues.
I was going to say, like, 2 quarters, 3 dimes, and 4 nickels doesn't always equal a dollar in Dynasty.
Correct.
Anyways, let's move
Mike Clay's big on
here.
Offering a couple of dimes and nickels.
Let's move things forward here. Odell Beckham Jr. has 3 straight games with a touchdown for the Los Angeles Rams, settling into that role as their number 2 wide receiver. This was fun. He had exactly 3 receiving touchdowns in all of 2020 and 2021 with the Browns. He now has 3 in his last 3 games with the Rams. I think the what we were expecting, like what was the horticultural reference that Nick Sirianni made a few weeks ago to find
out the layers, the roots, the ground, and like watching something grow. Yeah,
the Rams had some horticultural intentions when they signed Odell Beckham Jr., and it feels like those are starting to blossom right now, as he has again 3 straight games with a touchdown, settling in as like a top 20-ish wide receiver for the rest of the season if this keeps up, Matthew, because the volume is going up every single week as well.
And that's the encouraging thing. So he scored last week, but it was basically, I want to say off the top of my head, he got like 2 targets or 3. He basically got that one fade and that was it.
Yeah.
But here he was an integrated part of the offense, and often was, there were definitely plays where he was clearly the first read.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that if you have OBJ on your roster, you have to be really excited about this because obviously such a brutal year in Cleveland. And so if you hung tough with him, you are bearing the fruits of your patience.
Yeah, your patience, not your labor, your patience. Yeah. I agree.
So anyway, well done there for everyone that has OBJ. And credit again to Sean McVay and his staff for integrating Odell Beckham Jr. I think it was you that tweeted this out. With like first three games of the Rams, three touchdowns. Whatever, like 100 games of the Browns, three touchdowns, something like that.
Pretty close. Yeah, 2020 and 2021, three touchdowns. Rams, three touchdowns in three games. It's ridiculous. Anyways, moving forward here. Van Jefferson, two catches last night, one of which went for a long touchdown. Van Jefferson is like the – every year I used to use DeSean Jackson as the example. But like if you're looking for a Hail Mary this week because you're the eighth seed and you're playing against the number one seed in your playoffs and you need like only high-scoring options, play Van Jefferson because you might get 2 points – but you might get 15 points on just two catches as well. Let's get to the Rams. About a great moment, by the way, between Van Jefferson and his father, Sean Jefferson, longtime NFL wide receiver, now the Cardinals wide receivers coach. Really cool to see last night. That was special, the two of them embracing after the game. Let's move things forward here to the Cardinals. Kyler Murray threw for nearly 400 yards, and he had 61 rushing yards. That was both good, but just no passing touchdowns last night for Kyler. 17.4 fantasy points. I'm not here to complain about a night in which Kyler throws the ball nearly 50 times. He has over 60 rushing yards. He'll be just fine. Stefania, the running backs last night were just the James Conner show, and he was awesome again. What an amazing story this was for James Conner
flipping the script and becoming a wide receiver instead of a running back. I mean, he flat out was running routes and catching passes like a wide receiver.
It was amazing. Unbelievable. 9 catches for 90 yards for James Conner. Finds the end zone again. He has 125 total yards, 33.5 fantasy points, in part because Chase Edmonds was not available, Stefania.
Yeah, and you know, we had heard on Sunday that he would be active and have a role. But we talked about it, all of us having trepidation, even if he was active, because he was coming off being on injured reserve. The Cardinals had been conservative with their star players and held them out a little bit longer. Cliff Kingsbury talked about like giving Kyler Murray just that extra week and feeling more confident. And I think that's part of why we're seeing Kyler Murray be able to move and run the way that he is, was he did wait until he was healthy enough to do so. So I suspect they wanted to see Chase Edmonds involved in a little more practice before they actually brought him back. And so it could be this coming week that we finally get to see him back in action. And they might need him. If you were watching the end of the game, James Conner in the very last play went down. You saw the medical staff tending to him sort of when everybody was getting up and leaving the field. And he did get up and walk off under his own power. Darren Urban, who covers the Cardinals, was observing him there and said he appeared to be limping significantly. That said, Cliff Kingsbury afterwards said he didn't think the injury was too serious, but nonetheless, you never know in the immediate aftermath, especially something that happens late in the game. I would definitely pay attention to this.
Keep an eye out on that one. Mort suggested on Twitter last night that Chase Edmonds will be back this week, which sort of aligns with everything else that we've been sort of processing over the past few weeks in regard to Chase Edmonds.
And they may need him.
Yeah, as she was just saying, because of the James Conner injury. DeAndre Hopkins, 5 catches last night, Stefania, 54 yards, 12 targets. Are you convinced he looks right, though?
What was that?
Are you convinced he looks totally right?
I thought he looked good. I thought he looked fine. Yeah. I didn't see, you know, he wasn't running those crazy long perimeter routes. That's what you didn't see. And that's the thing that he's sort of known for. I mean, I thought the in the end zone, you know, there was one ball he didn't get up high enough. And actually, considering that the Rams were subbing in corners with Jalen Ramsey out, I thought for sure DeAndre Hopkins was going to get a touchdown. That didn't happen. But he was out on the last series, and that what caught our attention. He was not involved when they were making that last push to score, and it sounds like he was dealing with something. We didn't know exactly what. Again, Cliff Kingsbury said he didn't think it was too serious. We will find out later what that is.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. Maybe it's the hamstring still. It doesn't look right to me. And he's never been, like DeAndre Hopkins has never been Tyreek Hill or one of these guys that just bolts down the field and scores 70-yard touchdowns regularly, but did not look like DeAndre Hopkins.
You know what he's always been able to do is outmaneuver whoever's covering him. And he's super physical. It beats guys on jump balls, and those are the things that we're not seeing right now.
Yeah, and no touchdowns last night, which I know grinded Stefania's gear. We had a red zone question that was tied to that. Stefania could have won the week instead.
But she didn't.
instead.
Wait, how'd you do?
Oh, I did horribly.
Okay.
But my week was done by that point. So really all I had to root for, Stefania, was against you. So I was reduced to doing nothing but rooting against you.
I knew how
badly you wanted to win the week. So then I desperately wanted you not to win the week because my week was so awful. I think I finished 3-7 or something.
You would rather
see
me win the week than Stefania?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's this week, Field. Okay. But he's so far in the dust now, he's going to root for one of us alternatively each week.
In terms of red zone on Fantasy Football Now, I think I've won 3 of the last 4 years. It might be 4 of the last 5. It's hard to keep track. I have so many of these belts. But when I have lost, it has been to Stefania. She's my real rival here. I'm not really concerned about you. I'm not worried that you'll wind up with this title. So my point is that...
I won it 2 years ago.
Are you sure? Because I'd have to check the tape on that. I don't believe you did.
Okay.
Well, so anyway.
The best part of this is...
I think it's fake news.
What did I say yesterday on our pre-show meeting before Matthew got there? Did I not telegraph exactly what's going to happen?
Exactly. It's like you know him.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Anyways.
What did you say? I'm sure you're right.
You're going to hear yesterday about three
of the
last 4 years.
Yesterday was like, before you got on,
years.
I was like, you know, once... Because you had a tough week in red
zone.
Yes, I did. And now I've got a fairly significant gap over you.
Correct.
And I was like, guys, just brace for this. The minute Matthew realizes the standings, he's going to go, well, you know, 3 out of 4 wins for me.
That's all I got.
4 out of 5 is hard. Like, I'm not Michael Jordan. I'm just darn close, right?
Yeah. You know? Michael Jordan didn't win every year, but, you know,
yes,
still.
Every time he made the finals, he won. Yeah.
Well, yeah, every year he made the finals, he won.
Yeah,
but, you know.
We're in the finals of the war. I mean, technically, you're always in the finals in the red zone. Because
This is true. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm closer to LeBron than Jordan. That's fine. Fair enough. Understood.
Say LeBron receding hairline. Yeah. It all makes sense.
Fair.
Wow.
Fair.
Okay. AJ Green had over 100 yards last night. He also earned a nice incentive. I believe it was $250,000 for bypassing 600 receiving yards for the season. Zach Ertz, 5 catches on 42 yards, 9.2 fantasy points. All right. We have to keep moving here. And there are now just 4 teams left in our Survivor League. Kyle, take it away.
Yeah. Al Seidenfeld, Al Smizzle, that of CSS DFS fame, which is obviously where he makes his income.
Yeah.
He has been eliminated from the Survivor League, thanks in no part to Terry McLaurin, who gave him nothing. He did start the week with Dalvin Cook, over 35 points from Dalvin Cook, so you would think after Thursday Night Football he was looking good. But with only 5 teams left, that is not the case. 5.7 points from Kelsey and... Sony Michel couldn't come through with a massive night. He needed basically James Conner to be Sony Michel, and that didn't happen. So Al Seidenfeld, our good buddy, our good old pal, Al Smizzle, will no longer play in the Survivor League, which means we're down to a final 4 here, Matthew. What's that mean for how this finishes?
Well, so a couple things. So, yes, first off, disappointing. Terry McLaurin, tough game for him, tough game for my Washington football team. His 0 fantasy points killed me in a couple of leagues.
Wow. How about you?
Making everything about me is my superpower. Let's be clear about that. But look, here's what's exciting. We love Al Seidenfeld. He does a great job on the CSS DFS podcast. Yeah. Of course, he also writes the Best Buys column here for us at ESPN.com. He's great on Twitter. He has a Twitch. He has a YouTube. He probably does some TikTok as well. Like, he's all over the social media. And he now has more time to live that Smiz life.
Right. He won't go
because he no longer needs to pay attention to the Survivor League. He is muerto. He is dead in the league.
I asked you for one thing.
Yeah.
I said, just don't bury the lead, okay? And you buried the lead. We have 4 teams left.
We have 4 teams
and
left.
And one of them is Stefania Bell, baby. Let's go. Stefania, who's had an unbelievable run in the Survivor League.
She
and Scott Fishbowl.
Right.
Those are more impressive than some typical redraft leagues. Stefania is building dynasties right now.
Fair enough. Stefania Bell is one of our final 4, and so now there is no more elimination. What we will do is Stefania. I believe our final 4 are
it's my first Stefania Survivor League, so I'm learning the rules as we go.
And you've had an incredible run, Stefania. So what we will do is over the next 4 weeks.
Yep.
No one gets eliminated, and so the total points from this point forward till the end of the season, whoever has the most total points from this point forward will be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Stefania has not made a ton of moves in this league.
I haven't had to. I didn't pick up Patrick Mahomes, for instance, like everyone else did, who is gone bye-bye.
Right, this is very true.
You're saying I drafted so well. Yes. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
That is what I am saying. So I believe it is
Seth Walder.
Seth Walder, who does a great job for us with ESPN Stats and Information.
Damian Dabrowski.
Damian Dabrowski is the producer of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, and of course also helps us out on Fantasy Football Now. Does a great job here at ESPN. Great fantasy mind.
Correct. And Clutch Reno.
Yes. Dennis Reno, who oversees the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry on ESPN Plus, also is a big producer over at Daily Wager for us here, does a great job. So four very strong fantasy minds. They are our final four survivors. Worth noting that not only did the manager of Dalvin Cook get eliminated back-to-back weeks, but the manager of Dak Prescott as well. Because I also had Dak Prescott. I lost the week before Smiz.
Sure. Yeah, he's been it's been a tough year for Dak. Damian, Seth, Clutch,
Stefania. And Stefania Bell. That is your final four of Survivor. Congratulations to all.
Damian has also built arguably the greatest fantasy team of all time in our Dynasty League.
It's really ridiculously stupidly loaded.
Well done by you, Damian. Let's get to free agent
Which is one of the reasons why I immediately started tanking this year because I was just like, and I ain't beating Damian. He's got like Jonathan Taylor, and he's got a ridiculous team.
Whenever Matthew makes a good call on Love Hate, it's probably Damian's idea. Probably. Let's move things forward here to the waiver wire.
Yeah, probably.
And my free agent finds are brought to you by Captain Morgan. That's boring drinks and subbing the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spice rum of the NFL. Matthew, I'll let you take it away. I'm going to try to get to five names quickly here because I want to get to some stuff from the weekend as well.
Well, look, Seattle's been looking for a running game for quite some time, but looks like they may have found one.
Yes, they have. I believe they have. And the number one waiver wire ad for me this week is Rashad Penny, an unlikely addition in week 15 of the NFL season. But Penny has been really good for the Seahawks in back-to-back games. Pete Carroll stopped short of kind of giving him the job yesterday, but I think the writing is on the wall. They want Rashad Penny to be their lead back until further notice. He had 137 yards, two touchdowns. Both of those were career highs for Penny in week 14. They played against the Texans. The matchup is more difficult this week against the 49ers or the Rams. They play the Rams this weekend. My apologies. But still, Penny is all about opportunity. This is about skill set. And we can laugh and we can decry the merits of taking him in the first round back in 2018. But it's not like they drafted a guy who has no skill, right? Penny was an incredibly explosive return man at San Diego State. San Diego State is, of course, the alma mater of Marshall Faulk. Rashad Penny had a career that was at least to be mentioned in like the same category in terms of San Diego State running backs as Marshall Faulk. He was awesome during his final season there. He's got a lot of talent. I like him this week and going forward.
So Rashad Penny is your number one. Let's move on to number two. Let's stay at the same position in the same division field.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Jeff Wilson Jr., Matthew. And just a reminder that as of right now, we don't know the availability for Elijah Mitchell unless Stefania interrupts me and tells me otherwise.
No, not too early in the week.
Too early in the week. So this is about opportunity for Jeff Wilson Jr. Now, I will concede a few things here. The passing game work is pretty minimal. He had zero catches this past week. There's also the fact that Deebo Samuel feels like their best running back right now. He had eight rushes this past week, and that's notable. But 13 carries for Jeff Wilson Jr., zero for Jamichael Hasty. It tells you that there's a chance he gets 15 or 17 or 20 in a game. And if he's going to get 15 or 17 or 20 in a game, I think the odds of him scoring a touchdown are reasonable week over week. So I think that Jeff Wilson Jr. should be added in a bunch of leagues as well.
It's a good matchup this week, obviously, with the Atlanta Falcons. And speaking of the Falcons, Field, your number three pick comes from that very same team.
That's right, Russell Gage. And there are a few other wide receivers that make the waiver wire column this week, and some of them seem to have a more contained value, right? Like KJ Osborne, and we'll talk about him at some point, is more based upon the health of Adam Thielen. The Vikings play on Monday night, so we'll see whether they have Thielen back or not. Early reporting suggests they could have him back, but worth having KJ Osborne just in case. Whereas Russell Gage is the guy in Atlanta, right? He's got another game this past weekend, up over 10 fantasy points. Touchdowns may be hard to come by. Atlanta's offense isn't very good, but right now, if you're looking for a guy that you need to get 10 fantasy points from, Russell Gage is about as good of a bet as you'll find on the waiver wire. The volume has been excellent. Another game with, I think it was six catches for 44 yards for Russell Gage. He's got over 50 targets in his last seven games. He's been busy for Atlanta.
At least six targets in six of his last seven. He was 4 for 64 last week.
I'm sorry,
but
I had reversed, my bad.
Yeah, but he's averaging 16.9 over the last 3 weeks, and Worth noting, Atlanta, the sixth past heaviest offense, red zone offense in the NFL. When they get close, they like to throw. So you mentioned KJ Osborne. Why don't you talk a little bit more about him, though, Field, at number four?
Yeah, he's just been a good player for Minnesota, sure. Right? This is a fifth-round pick a year ago. He went to Buffalo to start his college career, finished it off at the U. He was there for one season. He, this past week, scored a touchdown. Back-to-back games now with a touchdown. The first game, that was week 13. He came in early in relief of Adam Thielen, who left after one catch. This past week, he had 9 targets. He caught just 3 of them, but he got 2 end zone looks. One was a long touchdown. Another one was a pass that Kirk Cousins just, as was unfortunately the case throughout the night, there was poor ball placement on. But Osborne's a good player in what we think could be a pass-heavy offense, because even though they play the Bears on Monday night, the Vikings only play weird games. They only play games in which they're still throwing the football in the fourth quarter because they have to. KJ Osborne on the waiver wire this week. I think he's like a top 35-ish play if Adam Thielen is out.
Yeah, and he's been running out of the slot the last couple of weeks, by the way, which is one of the areas where the Bears have struggled defensively. Indeed. So far this year. And let's round it out with one more wide receiver. We talked about him briefly yesterday.
That's right.
The injury to Emmanuel Sanders potentially opening the door for more snaps.
That's right.
And Gabriel Davis.
That's right. And Sophia, what specifically do we know about Emmanuel Sanders? Because Sean McDermott did talk about he and Josh Allen yesterday.
That's right. He didn't say much in the way of what the specifics are, but he did say that he's not expecting Emmanuel Sanders to be available this week. So okay. I think you can go ahead and plan on Emmanuel Sanders being out. Josh Allen is considered day-to-day with a foot sprain. Again, that's a very generic term. These injuries have a wide range of outcomes, but the way he framed it was that they're going to see how Allen responds to treatment during the week before they make a decision about whether he'll be available to play or not.
Yeah, according to Sean McDermott, he has a chance, Josh Allen, to play on Sunday. They play the Panthers. The game is up in Buffalo. But back to Gabriel Davis, a guy who scored in back-to-back games. He had his first game with up over 5 targets this past week. He has been sort of relegated to a fourth wide receiver role, but he reminds me in some ways of Auden Tate in Cincinnati. He's not the fourth wide receiver, like on your roster in general. He's a better player than that. He just is buried because Buffalo has Stephon Diggs. They, of course, have Cole Beasley, who's an excellent player. They, of course, have also Emmanuel Sanders, who just got hurt. But I think Gabriel Davis could be a busy man against Carolina, who I don't know what to make of Carolina right now. Because even if the numbers told me, like, they're a really stingy defense, like, they're just not playing that well right now.
No, it's a disorganized loss season for the Carolina Panthers, who are still trying to find their identity. And, you know, listen, they've had some injuries, obviously. Sam Darnold being one of them. Chris McCaffrey, obviously, the most obvious there, and that's on the offensive side of the ball. But still, to your point, it's just kind of a weird year in Carolina. So, Field, the rest of your free agent finds and column is available now on ESPN.com. It's worth noting. Field's free agent finds brought to you by Captain Morgan. Mm-hmm. Bench boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, it's the official spiced rum of the NFL.
And it's not just that our waiver wire pickups are brought to you by Captain Morgan. This entire episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know as the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. And sometimes you got to sub someone in to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan, original spiced rum, and ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Everyone likes shopping online, but searching for coupon codes, kind of a bummer. So make saving online a breeze with Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping is a free tool. Instantly searches for available coupon codes, automatically applies them at checkout, okay? Just download Capital One Shopping to your computer and let it do the work for you. So easy, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. Capital One Shopping, it's kind of genius. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary.
We are back, and time now to empty the bucket with some leftover thoughts from week 14. And let's go to Denver right now because
sure.
I got to tell you, like I there's this like weird struggle, right? Because all of us in this podcast have been big cheerleaders for Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
With good reason, right? He looks like an excellent prospect. He makes a ton of great plays almost every single week. He's had one chance to be the starter all by himself for Denver, and he was the best running back in fantasy for the week.
Yeah.
So all of this is a supporting Javonte Williams cause. It's not trying to undercut the ability of Melvin Gordon.
Right.
And Melvin Gordon reminded us, by the way, on Sunday, he's still a darn good back.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon had 111 rushing yards. He and Javonte Williams played exactly the same number of snaps, 32 apiece. Mm-hmm. And he had two rushing touchdowns. So we can sit here and say, hey, Melvin Gordon is, you know, the Broncos are mishandling the running backs, how good Javonte Williams is. You tell me if 111 rushing yards and two rushing touchdowns is bad. It clearly is not. It is evident that unless the Broncos are totally eliminated from playoff competition, and even then I'm not so sure this would happen, they're going to continue to split things between these two backs, Matthew. I think the reality is Javonte Williams offers more upside because of the big play
sure.
and passing game potential, but Gordon remains a usable flex option. He really does.
1,000%. The one concern here, Field, Melvin Gordon's a good football player. We love Javonte Williams. Hashtag free Javonte Williams. But the concern here is this past weekend, they ran the ball 40 times, or at least they had 40 touches between them. Between Williams and Gordon, they had 40 touches. They had four touchdowns, two touchdowns each for both the running backs, which is great. But they play in Detroit every week. I mean, you can get that kind of running back volume when you play the Lions. This week they play the Bengals, and that's a much tougher matchup. It's an offense that's going to move the ball a lot more. And by the way, it's a much better defense. Bengals are the second best run defense over the NFL over the last 4 weeks. And so my expectation here is that both guys, assuming both guys play, I think there was Stefania, there was Melvin Gordon like hurt his hand or his finger or something like that, but said that he didn't think it would cause him to miss any time.
I mean, he came back and ran for 111 yards. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, color me shocked that he's not going to be.
Well, I understand.
This is a guy who was pushing to come back from a hip injury when he wasn't quite 100% and still managed to be effective. So
yeah, exactly.
He's not going to sit silently by. He could see what happens the week he missed. I mean, he's aware.
And listen, Melvin Gordon's a free agent, and whether after this year, and so whether he goes back to Denver or plays for another team, Melvin Gordon is looking for a deal and wants to prove that he is still an elite running back in the NFL. So unfortunately, as great as we think Javonte Williams is, the problem is Melvin Gordon isn't going anywhere, and I think the game script isn't going to be as favorable going forward as it was this past weekend against the Lions.
Yes and no.
You know, I mean, listen, they play Cincinnati this week, which is tough defense. Then they're at Las Vegas, which is a pretty good matchup. Then they're at the Chargers, which for much of the year, the Chargers have been kind of a run funnel defense.
Yeah, they have. I was going to say, I like their matchups for the next 3 weeks. Like, I think they can stay competitive with Cincinnati, Las Vegas, the Chargers, and honestly, the Chiefs as well. Like, I think I'm okay with it the rest of the season. And
they're both high-end flex plays.
Yeah, and by the way, their pass catchers don't catch the ball anymore.
This is true.
So, like, they just run the football a ton. I will one day.
$41 million doesn't buy you what it used to these days.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Right? That's what Cortland Sutton's deal was, $41
million? 61. So you're 61, only 20
sorry.
Million off. Yeah. But
sorry, you know 61 like, million doesn't buy you what
amazing.
It used to.
Like,
oh, yeah, right. It's 4 for $61. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's totally a valuable. I get why they did it right. Like, it's a future. You are paying for what Cortland Sutton can represent for your future. And there is a very, very slim chance, I would think, that they come back with the same quarterback situation next year as they have this year. But good Lord, like, he never catches passes anymore. It is
you just can't catch a pass if you're not thrown to you.
Oh, I'm not blaming him. I'm saying I mean, he never like, has balls thrown his way.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, well, you're not making any catches. It's like, well, the ball's nowhere near me because he gets like three targets a game.
Yeah. So
it's $61 million for 4 years. It's like, that's half of Pat McAfee money.
moving
we
things
love
forward
Pat.
Here.
God bless Pat McAfee is all I want to say.
We move forward here to the Packers, and A.J. Dillon had 15 carries for 71 yards. He had zero targets, but he played more snaps than Aaron Jones. I've been saying frequently recently, why are A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones not closer in the rankings week over week? And this past week, technically, if you're looking at the results, I was probably wrong, right? Because Aaron Jones found the end zone twice. But if you look at the process, I'm not sure we were wrong. I was wrong because he played more snaps.
Yep.
He had more snaps in the red zone. He definitely played more in the second half, but not like they were up big the entire game. Mm-mm. They were down at halftime with the Chicago Bears. So it still feels to me like A.J. Dillon's going to be a thing the rest of the season, and Aaron Jones finds the end zone a lot, but there's some risk involved there too.
If Aaron Jones hadn't scored twice, fantasy managers would be freaking out after that game because Dillon played more snaps and Dillon got a couple shots at him and then, you know, like
he could have scored and then the next play Aaron Jones comes in for a one-yard touchdown.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of like, and we see this all the time in fantasy, but it's just like, you know, you know, AJ Dillon, he loosened the pickle jar,
right,
but then Aaron Jones got the pickle. Like, you know, it's super
totally
frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, you sit there, you're like, ah, honey, I got it. And then somebody else, you know, then like one of my 17-year-old kid comes over and like, yeah. I'm like, I would have gotten it if you just, you know. Very
yeah,
frustrating.
No, I agree.
But, right, that's like AJ Dillon got him down there, and then Aaron Jones comes in, and weirdly, Aaron Jones became the vulture in this game. But so you're excited that Jones was able to cash it in here, but in four of the past five games they've played together, AJ Dillon has had more carries than Aaron Jones. And even though Dillon wasn't used in the passing game this past game against Chicago, he has been in the past. They're not scared to use AJ Dillon in the passing game.
Sure. Yeah, he has been effective in the passing game when given opportunities. I do think both of these guys are playable. I think
yes.
Obviously Jones represents more upside, but Dillon's still a usable piece. We've got a few wide receivers here, and this sort of extends on the conversation we had yesterday, which was, can you trust these players? So can you count on them, or should you be counting them out of your lineup? I'm going to jump around the order here, and I'm going to start with Julio Jones, Matthew, because he returned for the Titans. He played against the Jaguars, what you thought would be a good matchup on paper. And yet, Matthew, four catches, six targets, 33 yards. He has one game this entire season with more than 9 fantasy points. That was back in week 2.
Yep. Welcome to Dumpsville.
Wow. Didn't think you'd be saying that this year, did you?
Read those numbers again, Field. Four catches, 6 targets, 33 yards, 7.3 fantasy points. That's what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The part you left out against Jacksonville.
Right.
Like, it ain't like he did that, you know, against Jalen Ramsey or whatever. Like, that was against Jacksonville. Like, if you can't, and by the way, with no A.J. Brown, like, if you can't produce when you're the number one target and you're playing the Jags, I don't know when you would ever feel comfortable starting Julio Jones, especially as we enter the fantasy playoffs where there's so little room for error.
Right.
No margin. And so, like, they play the Steelers, and the Steelers have been brutal defensively recently. But
yeah, but they might run the ball, the Titans, 50 times on Sunday. Yeah, I'm with you. It's interesting times right now. Hollywood Brown.
And then they play San Francisco and Miami. You don't love them in either of those. And then week 18 at Houston, okay, fine. But personally, if I needed the roster spot, I would have no problem waiving Julio Jones. And if you see some production over the next 3 weeks and you play in week 18, pick him up for the game against the Texans. But
I cannot imagine
starting him against Pittsburgh this week after what we saw, even though, again, we don't think the Steelers defense is any good this year.
I tell you what, there are times where things happen in football that make no sense. And you say to yourself, how did the entire league screw this up? Right. So to speak.
Right.
Like, and I try not to be one of those people because
sure.
the league is dealing with much more information than any of us have. I've been on the other side of it and seen some of the things that go into decisions that aren't apparent publicly.
Yep.
But a lot of us, myself included, thought like Julio Jones, man, like everybody should be making a trade for Julio Jones. The NFL seemed to have sized that one up a bit more effectively than we have, at least based off of the first season for Julio in Tennessee. How about Hollywood Brown, Matthew? He's got 4 straight games, under 14 fantasy points, 5 catches, 41 yards this past week. And Stefania, it sounds like he'll have his quarterback this weekend in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, they're just not willing to say that he won't be available.
Okay.
I think they're going to take it down to the wire and see how he does.
Okay, so Lamar Jackson, according to John Harbaugh, sounds like they're planning to play him on Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll see, obviously. I mean, it's only what's now Tuesday. Those comments were made on Monday. But Matthew, is Hollywood Brown still a lock? He was so good to begin the season.
He was so good. And I think you have to throw this game out. It was a weird game, obviously.
It was, yeah.
Lamar Jackson leaves early. Tough matchup against the Browns. Good defensive team. It was, you know, and so they went more run heavy with Huntley. Rashad Bateman, a week after playing the lowest snaps on the team, has over 100 yards. It's a weird one. The thing that's encouraging me is Hollywood Brown, at least 7 targets now in 6 straight games. So he's getting the looks. He's still the number one wide receiver on that team. Mark Andrews, of course, had a big game last week. Assuming Lamar Jackson plays this week, I'm starting Marquise Brown.
We'll put a pin in the show here. Jarvis Landry has over 14 fantasy points in 3 straight games, Matthew. He had his first receiving touchdown of the season. He's got 8 or more targets in 3 straight and 5 of his 7 games. He's trending in the right direction. It feels like with all the players that are not available for Cleveland right now and the lack of established passing weapons, he probably is their best bet for a pass catcher.
He is, but understand, he scored a touchdown in this game, and it was his first touchdown of the season. Like, he's not a guy that scores a lot. Mm. And so then you look at what else he did, right? So he got 8 targets, that's nice, but it's 5 for 41. That's what we're talking about here with Jarvis Landry, We're talking, you know, 5 for 41. Like, you know, like he's somewhere in that 10 to 15 fantasy point range. And so I guess what I would say is for fantasy managers, like if you need floor, Jarvis Landry's your guy, and certainly you're encouraged by the recent production. But if I'm sitting here, like if you're in a 2-week playoff and after week one you're down big, or after Thursday night you're down big to your opponent, you're like, I need to swing for the fences here. You've had a couple of injuries and you're just like, you know, I'm limping into the playoffs. I need to swing for the fences. Jarvis Landry is likely not your upside play. I think he's much more of a floor than a ceiling play. But yes, the recent production is encouraging. And look, give credit where credit is due. Baker looked better this past week. Like, he hadn't been great, but he definitely looked better.
Reminder, the Browns play on Saturday afternoon. We've got two games on Saturday, the Browns and the Raiders, plus the Colts and the Patriots, the nightcap, before we get into our usual Sunday slate. Wednesday's show will be rankings, plus some stuff that we've learned along the way, and maybe some suggestions about some possible streaming or long shot options for week 15 of the playoffs.
You know what makes a great gift? You know, as we're sitting here shopping for the holidays, you know, people thinking about the holidays.
Chapstick
is always, you know, candlesticks, also a good gift. You know?
Candlesticks. Ties are always good. Bull Durham reference.
Yes, nice. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, everyone likes candlesticks, but also rotopass.com makes a great gift as well, and you can gift it. Go to rotopass.com. You get a 12 months subscription to ESPN Plus, plus five other great fantasy sites, DFS tools, best ball tools, dynasty tools. You're going to get it for 12 months. You're going to get it for not only the rest of the season and the fantasy playoffs, but for DFS in the playoffs and all off season and next year as well when you're prepping for fantasy drafts. rotopass.com.
Field, I think I know what we're getting for the holidays.
I was going to say Stefania. It's our lucky year for Matthew and Stefania and Kyle. I am Field. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Peace out!
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. King of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew.